Well, hey, you may be saying this morning, this is the year. This is the year. This is the year I'm going to stay with that diet, you know? That's right. This is the year I'm going to go to CrossFit 3 times a week. All year long. Or, you know, this is the year I'm going to graduate from college. I mean, man, that would be a great one. This is the year I'm going to save more than I've ever saved before instead of spend it. This is the year I'm going to read that book on marriage to understand it better, or listen to that podcast on parenting to understand my kids better. You know, these are all just outstanding goals. But whatever yours is, this is the year, right? This is the year. And I have a few as well. You know, I've got a couple fitness things I want to do and some books I want to read and a project I want to finish this year. But the thing is, I'm thinking about this is the year and thinking about goal making and things like that. I noticed that a lot of times our goals, they have to do with personal fulfillment or achievement type things. Again, they're worthy goals and they're good things. We should be striving to do the best that we can. It seems, though, that it's more easy to make those types of goals than the goals that have to do with our relationship with God. The purpose of the Christian life and the greatest good that we can achieve in our lives is to conform more and more to the image of Jesus Christ. This is what the scripture tells us. This is the greatest good that we can have in our lives, that we can give to others in our lives, is to be made more and more in the likeness of Jesus Christ. We've been saved by God's grace. We've already been able to kind of think about that and celebrate that. But we're not just saved for ourselves. We're not just saved for self-fulfillment purposes and achievements, but we're saved for the glory of God, for His honor, for His praise. That's why He saved us. And so today, I want to influence you to make this the year to pursue spiritual healing and transformation in your life. That's what I want to lay out before you. That you would say, this is the year I'm going to tackle an area of spiritual healing that I need. An area of transformation into the image of Christ that I need. That's what I want to influence you today. And so I want to give you a definition of spiritual healing, because it could kind of be all over the place what spiritual healing is. Spiritual healing is when the flawed inner part of our life is transformed in Christ. Think about that. Do you have any flaws in the inner part of your life? And so, you know, we talked about this a little earlier. When we confess our sins to God, we're forgiven because of Christ. We are forgiven and we are saved from our sins. We're positionally now a son of God or a daughter of God. And it's an incredible thing. But we're not healed from the inner struggles that we have, the sinfulness that is there. And so, you know, there's still inner struggles. There's maybe a sin that's mastering you. It could be an anger problem. It could be an overuse of something like alcohol. Or we may have an emotional immaturity issue in a particular area of our life. And one, for example, would be like you're offended by almost everything, and just even the slightest little thing offends you. Or you have self-worth issues. Or the flaw that really comes to the surface in your life is that you're me-centered. And, you know, it's really hard for you to connect with the needs of others. You're just kind of indifferent about the people in your life that are suffering and struggling, and you're just more focused on yourself. You're not gospel-centered. You're not Christ-centered. You're me-centered. And So what do you think? Do you have an area as you listen to what I'm having to say? Does something come to the surface, an area of sin, an area of emotional development, or just an area of Christ-centeredness? I'm not trying to be negative today. It makes me feel like that. Yeah, I got up early for church. It's the hardest Sunday to come. And then the pastor is up there. He's reaming on me. I'm not doing that. I'm not here to be negative. But I do think you need to realize, and this is Peter Scazzaro. He's an author and a pastor. He's written a book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. This slide will be up on the screen. But he says this, just, most Christians' lives are no different from the lives of their secular neighbors. Hedonism, materialism, racism, egotism, and many other undesirable traits are commonplace among Christians. Well, do you think that's true? And if that's true, what does that look like? Here's another quote from a guy named Ron Sider. He wrote The Scandal of the Evangelical Conscience. By their daily activity, most Christians regularly commit treason. With their mouths, they claim that Jesus is their Lord, but with their actions, they demonstrate their allegiance to money, sex, and personal fulfillment. I'm not here to point a finger at you. As a matter of fact, whenever I think of that idea of pointing a finger, I just realize there's always three pointing back at me, so I really feel that way this morning. But what keeps us from going after spiritual healing? What keeps us from going after transformation to be like Christ? It's apparent that society sees that Christians are not being transformed many times. And maybe if we're honest, we would see that in our own life. Well, what keeps us from going after it? And for some, it may be just it's we don't see it like the sins that we have in our lives, the issues that we have. We don't think it's a big deal. It's not a big deal. This is just the way I am. Have you ever heard that before? Someone justify their behavior by, it's just the way I am. Like whatever your last name is, like if it's the Smiths, that's the way we are. The Smiths, when we get angry, we swear up a storm, or something like that. And we sort of dismiss an area of life. And, we ask forgiveness, in our minds to God, and then we move on. But we just think it's no big deal. But it is a big deal. Or we have the idea, I can't change. You may be here this morning or watching and you have a sexual addiction. And you've tried to stop. You've tried to better your behavior. You've tried behavior modification, if you will. And it just keeps coming up. And you keep falling into going to websites you shouldn't or watching things you shouldn't watch on TV. And you continue to wind up there. And you've stopped trying because you don't think it's possible. You can't change. Or you'd say, I don't know how. I don't know how to get spiritual healing. And this is the issue I want to address. And I think it touches on all of them. But how do I get spiritual healing? How do I get into a process of change, of transformation? Well, James chapter 5, verse 16 lays out a pathway. And that's what I want to talk to you about with our remaining time. James chapter 5, verse 16, it lays out a roadmap to spiritual healing. And it's a roadmap that's kind of like if you were going to go running. Anybody ever run in your past? Have you ran? You go to a run. I was in a 25K run a number of years ago down in Grand Rapids, and they have all these different stations around the run, and you can kind of see it on a map, and you got to go to station one, and then, on and on, and right there it is. This is what used to be called the Old Kent Riverbank Run, right along the river. You see all those little stations, and this verse lays out kind of what's first, kind of what's second, what's third, in the roadmap to spiritual healing. And in many ways, it's arduous, just like a run is, just like a long run is. It's not easy. And I've been hearing people say from our church at Genesis, I love this when I hear this too, we're hungry for more, Norm. We're hungry for more. We want to go to the next step. We want to go to the next level. And so that's what this is all about. So let's put the verse up there. James chapter 5, verse 16 says this: confess your sins to each other and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful, wonderful results. So spiritual healing, we're going to see it's an arduous process. It's not just something you can order up on Amazon. You've got to kind of work through it. Let's go through these different steps here. And I want to point out that James is wisdom literature. It's similar to the Proverbs. If you go to the Old Testament, you see the Proverbs. There's 31, one for each day of the Proverbs. James is like that. It's very, it's wisdom, little tiny shots of wisdom at you throughout that passage, those passages. They're generalizations. They're truths that, you know, can be applied in our everyday lives. And so it doesn't mean you'll always succeed when you do what it says. It's wisdom literature, but it gives you a general path, and that's what this is. So the first one here is this: sis or bro up. That's the first one. This is hard to do. Sis or bro up. I know it sounds strange, and the teaching team told me that, but I liked it, so I went with it. Sis or bro up. It's in that verse. It's confess your sins and pray for one another. Let's think about this idea of one another. What does that mean? There's all kinds of one another's in the Bible. And if you define one another, it's each of two or more people doing the same thing together. So hear me out. Each of two or more people, so you can have two people and have one another. Each of two or more people doing something together. And this, I'm going to say, is many times what is missing in our walk with Christ, is doing something with another. Okay? And so it's interactive. It's mutual. One another is complementary. We're complementing one another. So if you're a brother in Christ, what this first track on the map is saying is find some trustworthy brother or brothers to share your life with. Another or two others, perhaps, maybe three at the most. If you're a sister in Christ, find some other Christian sisters who are trustworthy. And at Genesis, we call these micro groups. They're just really small groups. It's not your typical group at somebody's home where there's mixed genders and Bible studies and things of that nature. Micro groups can actually happen to a larger group. You can just pair off throughout the week at different times. They're very organic. But they're focused on transformation. They're focused on spiritual healing. And if you're interested in this as we talk this through this morning, please text Genesis. We have a PDF with some information that will kind of lay it out. But who do you do one another with? I got three C's for you: confession, character, and chemistry. Confession: someone who confesses that they follow Jesus. Someone who is striving to follow Jesus. That's who you want to pick. That's who you want to do one another with. Is someone who's serious about their faith, serious about becoming more and more like Christ. Someone who's a Christ follower. So confession is important. Are they willing to confess that they follow Jesus and they're striving towards that? Character: you want somebody that you can trust. Someone that you can share information with that you don't want blabbed all over the place. Someone that has character. Someone that's trustworthy and honest. They're going to be honest about what's going on in their life. And they're going to be a listening ear to what's going on in your life. And then chemistry. Chemistry is just like, you kind of like hanging out with them. I mean, there needs to be that. You can't like hate the person that you're one anothering with. That's an overstatement. But you need to have someone, you enjoy their company. You want to get to know them better. And so I've got two guys in my life right now. I'm planning to start another one as well, but to help get more started here at Genesis. But I have two guys that are not from the area that are pastors like I am, Troy and Paul. And I love those guys. And they're my one another guys. And my question for you is who is yours? Do you have a sis or a bro? It's like a running partner. You know, you're going on this long run and you've got somebody with you. They're pacing with you. They're talking to you. They're encouraging you. You're encouraging them. It's not a one-way street. And so we're like a running partner. So the first one here is, what did I say it was? Sis or bro up. Say it with me. Sis or bro up. Okay, the second one is this. Confess your sins to one another. When you come together, when the one another comes together, confess. I mentioned this earlier. It means to acknowledge. To confess means to acknowledge a fact with somebody else. It means to tell on yourself, to point out something. If you go back to the original word, it means to say the same thing. And this is what it means. Like, God has said something about certain issues and behaviors and their sin. And for us to say, I'm saying the same thing about it. I'm saying that's sin. I'm agreeing with God. That's confession. It's when we agree fully with God about sin. Sometimes in our confession, you're conceding. Do you know what that means when you're conceding? You know, there's relational friction that causes you to admit something after first denying it or resisting it. I remember way back when the baseball bat went through the barn window and nobody owned up to it. And I didn't own up to it at first. And then some relational friction got applied. And then I remembered, yeah, it was me that threw the bat through the barn window. And sometimes we need that, don't we? We need to be in a context with other people that love us, and we're in the micro groups, we're asking each other questions. And, you know, things like, have you wished something bad would happen to someone else this week? Or have you looked at anything sexually explicit that was out of bounds? You know, those are the kinds of questions that we're going to ask each other in a micro group to sort of help us along our pathway. Okay? So, what are we confessing? We're confessing our sins. And a sin is missing the mark. That's the old Hebrew idea. You know, the bow pulls the arrow back and you shoot it at the target and it completely misses it. You're off the mark. You've sinned. You've missed the mark that God has. It's a failure, a fault. But more than that, or equal to that, is it's an offense. It's an offense against God. A definition of sin is a root of hostility towards God. There's a root. There's something there that is against God in our lives. We don't think God has it. We think we know better. Something like that. And so there are different ways that then we act and behave against the will of God. So what would you be confessing? What do you confess to your brothers and sisters? You know, we could start with the seven deadly sins, right? You know, lust and greed and pride, envy, gluttony, anger, laziness. Those are all like free game. Like we all have struggles in different ones. And we've talked about this emotional health. What's not right in me? What's from my past, you know, dealing with a father or a mother that, what got hardwired into me from my family background. And again, going back to, where am I me-centered? Like, where do I live for comfort instead of mission? Am I materialistic? What do I do with my possessions? And so these are the areas of sin. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book Living Together, said this about sin. Sin wants to remain unknown. It shuns the light. In the darkness of the unexpressed, it poisons the whole being of a person. Do you see how important it is that we confess our sins, not only to God in our mind, that's important for salvation and for forgiveness, but to someone else to get it out of us in front of someone. And, you know, recently I had a time with my partners where I had to confess something in my life. Something that wasn't a major issue. If I told you, you'd be like, that's not that big of a deal. But for me, it's a big deal. And I was taking it lightly. And I had to come and share that. And John Mark Comer is an author and a pastor. He says, a raw power and genuine freedom come when you name your sin in the presence of loving community. And I found that. I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor for a long time, longer than some of you have been alive. And I still need this in my life. I still need brothers that I can say, hey, in this area I'm missing it. And the encouragement, it's not like they chastise me and beat me with rods or something, but it's encouragement. So, sister, bro up, confess your sins, and then pray on behalf of one another. There's two different words in this passage for prayer. If we put that passage back up there, the main passage, the first one, sort of there, pray for one another, and then there's the earnest prayer. There's two different words that kind of help us understand what prayer is. The first one is just make a request to God. It's just very general. It's like ask God for something. Like Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. It's like ask God for a request. And so the idea here is that we're together, we're making a request on behalf of another. So we're praying together. We're making a request. We're doing it together, and we're praying for the other person, and they're praying for us. That's what's happening. Isn't that wonderful? Then the second word, it's the word for pleading and begging, supplicating. It's an urgent emotional prayer. It's, the idea of help me overcome or help my friend overcome the anger issues that he has at home or something like that. But it's crying out together for another. And it's not something that we do as modern Christians, do we? I mean, we pray at church and maybe we have a prayer for before meals. But do we ever get with another brother or another sister and just really cry out about what's besetting us, about what's holding us back, about the things that are hurting us and our families? You know, this is what I've been finding, is that through vulnerability, we find great intimacy. When we're vulnerable with other people, it just opens up a deeper relationship with them. And you can go far with that. So the last part here is kind of the benefit. Like you run the race, and then you get to the end, it's like there's you run through the ribbon, you know, if you're first. If you're not, you just run through the gate at the end. And then they put the finisher medal on you, and they give you a banana and a drink or whatever. And you're like, yeah, I made it. You get the benefits of running through a race. And so here's the benefits. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. That's the finisher medal right there. That's the wonderful thing that happens. It says, now think about this. The righteous person, the prayer of a righteous person, think about that. What, you're like, I'm not righteous, so how can I? Well, wait a minute. 1 John, the passage I read earlier, chapter 1, verse 9 says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just and forgives you from your sins and cleanses you from all unrighteousness. So you see that it's not what you've done, it's that you've acknowledged to God that you're broken and sinful and you made a mistake in a specific area and you've confessed it and now you're righteous. And now you've kind of went to the next level because you've confessed it to your bro or your sis in Christ. And it's just like, it's like more power, right? And then, and it says here that the prayer of a righteous person has great power. And it says, produces wonderful results. You know, personal fulfillment, self-fulfillment can be good and can be nice. But think about this. Wonderful results, the Bible is talking about. Effective results in the life of somebody else who's trying to follow Christ. I mean, that's just like, that's way at the top. You know, someone that is turning away from their sin. And that's what this is talking about. That you can be healed. You can be healed by going through this process. And it's not guaranteed, but it's highly likely. And it's one of the ways that God gives us to work through this. I love what Peter Scazzaro says here in his book. He says, God never loses any part of our past for his future when we surrender ourselves to him. Every mistake, sin, and detour we take in the journey of life is taken by God and becomes his gift for a future of blessing. Now just think of that. As you meet with somebody else and you have a sin past and issues hopefully you're overcoming and you've dealt with and you're dealing with, and then to really use that for good by sitting down with someone else who also is struggling, maybe not in the same exact area as you are, but also has struggles, and you're actually able to use that for good to produce wonderful results. And it says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. God is doing something through those prayers when they're together. So here's the roadmap. Sis or bro up. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to find someone if you follow Christ? I know probably not everyone that's listening in or here this morning is a follower of Christ, but I think most people are. And so are you willing to do that? Are you willing to like open your life up to somebody else? To find someone to go through a process? I'll be willing to meet with you. Scott, Johnny would be willing to meet with you, help you think through that. If you'd like to do that, if you'd like to enter into something like this. It's very organic. You meet when you want to meet. You can have breakfast. You can do it in somebody's home. You can do it on the golf course. Not a good time of the year for that. The ski hill, not a good time either, right? It's icy out there. But, you know, you can do whatever you want, but the point is about having a sis, if you're a sister in Christ, having a brother, if you're a brother in Christ, that you share with. So the roadmap, the first one is sis or bro up. Secondly, confess your sins. Like, be honest. Like, come clean with the things that are holding you back. The things that are hurting your family. The things that hurt you at work. The things that cause you trouble. And then pray. That's the third leg. Actually pray. Beg. Cry out together for God to do an incredible work in another's life. And then lastly, enjoy the wonderful results of earnest prayers. Let's go back to the beginning of the passage that we looked at to start our time that Jeremy read. Some of you might not have been in here, so let me read it again. It's 2 Corinthians 6:2. It says this, and working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. We've been trying to say, let's not receive God's grace in vain. Let's like remember and celebrate what the Lord has done. Let's not receive it in vain. Let's also now work and build on that grace by being transformed. And he says this in verse 2, for he says, at a favorable time I listened to you. This is the Lord's voice. At a favorable time I listened to you, and on a day of salvation I helped you. We remember back when he saved us. Behold, now is a favorable time. That's what I want to say to you today. Now is a favorable time. Behold, now is a day of salvation. Now is a day of healing. Now is a chance in this new year to bring healing into your life, to choose something for yourself. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. Okay? This is the year to pursue spiritual healing in your life. And today is the day. Today is the day to commit to that. Today is the day to start that. And I want to give you some next steps that you could take here. First of all, number one, today is the day to agree with God about my sin. What is the area of your life that's holding you back? Can you be honest and say to God, I agree with you. This is bad behavior. This is not helping my family. This is not growing me in Christ. This is deterring from it. And Lord, I'm agreeing with you about it. Maybe that's just enough for today, just to start with that. I'm willing to look at my materialism, the way I swear when I get mad, the stuff I view online. You know, you fill in the blank, whatever it is specifically for you. These are all customized. Okay, there isn't one size that fits all. It's like, but I know there's something in your life because I know there's something in my life that I'm working on and that God is transforming, and it's wonderful. And that's what he wants for you. So, are you ready to do that today? Today I'm going to agree with God. I'm going to agree with God about my sin. I'm going to agree with God about my indifference of other people. All right, here's a second one. Today is the day I'm committing to reveal the hidden part of my life sometime soon with a fellow follower of Jesus. This is an arduous step. This is a humbling step to do that. To say, yeah, I did something I'm not proud of. I do something I'm not proud of. There's sin in my life and I need to get it out there in order to have healing. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. If you do this, you will have God's grace. You'll have his wonderful strength and power in your life. You'll be better for it. I'm not saying it'll be easy. And I'm not saying that you're going to want to do it. But today is the day to commit to that. Will you do that? Or here's a third one. I will text Genesis about starting a microgroup or being in when I'd like the information. Text Genesis, we'll send it on to you. So I'm going to have you stand up. We're going to end up our time today. I'm so glad that you came out. You know, you guys got up early. Look at you guys. Wow. I could not go to sleep last night. That's one of my goals, by the way, this year. Not to watch any more football games because my teams always lose. This week the Lions lost and Michigan lost and it was bad. But hey, so that's my new goal. No more football. Hey, I think the Lions play today, don't they? But I want to pray for you, and I want to pray that God is at work in your heart and that you want to deal with something significant this year. And so please take a next step. Don't just let this go in one ear and out the other. Take it to heart and let God do something in you this year. Dear God, thank you for this morning. I thank you for my dear friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's so good to be with them. It's so good to put you in the highest place, Lord. May you be praised. May you be honored. May you be known in our community. May you be known in our lives. And God, for the issues that we deal with that keep coming up, please give us your grace to take action, to run that roadmap and see what happens. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy New Year.